I'm gonna forget report card day.
How was school?
Yeah, my mom and dad sure didn't.
Why don't we take a look at that report card?
Can Jimmy come out and play?
Oh, not this month. He'll be doing homework with his dad.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Some heavy rumblers came through earlier. We'll have to deal with them dissipating from here on out. Otherwise, a mostly cloudy overnight low, eventually about 58 degrees. 74 for Saturday with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at 4 and 10, the opportunity for that. Sunday, partial sunshine, a little cooler, high 67, and Monday, dry 58.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight's Head On with Bob Kinkill. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you. Now, Bob Kinkill.
It's almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time once again for Head On. As Brian Reznor noted in his opening announcement, we appreciate his efforts. I'm Bob Kinkade. It is your nightly confrontation with the facts on a Friday the 13th. I just looked down and realized that. I'm not one of, you know, whether it's cookies that turn into Jesus or bad luck on Friday the 13th or walking under ladders or letting black cats walk across your bed, I don't go in for a lot of superstition. But, you know, Friday the 13th does have a very interesting origin. The Knights Templars, the poor soldiers of Jesus Christ, who became one of the most powerful organizations of the Middle Ages, were attacked, tortured, killed, and generally suppressed by, which pope was it, in cahoots with a very money-hungry Philip IV of France on, was it? Yes, I do believe it was. Friday, May the 13th, 1300 and something or another. I'm sorry, I didn't arm up for that. Somebody can email me with the date. But ever after, that is the source of the Friday the 13th myth. And of course, you know, the Knights Templars also played a significant role in the mythology, if you will, or the storytelling inherent in the Da Vinci Code. Also significant in an excellent, fairly scholarly book by a man named Graham Hancock called The Sign and the Seal. Darn good read. Very, very interesting. But that's all neither here nor there. Again, a little programming note. There will be no live program next Thursday, the 19th. Thursday the 19th. See, I was about to do it. Thursday the 19th is guest waiter night, and I will be at the Sedona Grill outside Fayetteville, and hope many of you will join me there for what will be for you a wonderful meal and what will be for me just a boatload of fun. I'm going to try to find out what the menu is going to include early next week so you can start thinking about it. Of course, all tips and donations go to the United Way and the Women's Resource Center. As good a cause as I can think of off the top of my head, or even with considerable pondering. So do come out Thursday night. The show will be a rerun, but for those of you who listen on the Internet, it'll be like a brand new show because it'll be last Friday night's show that ran when the Internet was down. So we try to make it has its pluses and its pluses on both sides of the equation, but if you're around here, give some thought to coming over to the Sedona Grill and do some good for a very worthy cause, and in the process, get yourself some of the finest eats, grub. Nah, this is cuisine that is to be had in this general area. From the appetizers to the entrees to the desserts, you will not be disappointed. They make some pretty mean martinis over there too, if you're into that kind of thing. So Thursday night, guest waiter night, I will be happy to wait your table at the Sedona Grill. Now I know we've got the base closings, and that's pretty big news. And there is just a groundswell of support for Senator Byrd after the little schooling that he gave Senator Haman Frist. I can't look at Bill the Cat Killer now without hearing Senator Byrd say, "Don't Hamanize the Senate." It was brilliant. And everything that Senator Byrd said was spot on. So that's available as well. But via Bart Kopp and the Chicago Sun-Times, a story just leaped out at me because, you know, we're terribly fond of Flush Flemball around here. And, you know, he's a big hero, Flush is. If you recall, he couldn't be bothered to go to Vietnam when his country needed him because he had a pimple on his butt. Really, it's called a pilonidal cyst. A hairy pimple on his butt. And that kept him out of Vietnam. Because after all, well, you know, he had to survive so he could go on and do what he does. And you recall, of course, that it was Flemball who told a caller of color at one point to, quote, "call me back when you get the bone out of your nose," unquote. Well, this hero, and he is a hero, he's bold and he's brave. Now Flush Flemball has decided to take on children. That's right, he's attacking children. Again, you can find the link to this at bartkopp.com. Go by there. If you haven't before, by all means do. Bartkopp and WD40.com are two of my absolute favorites. WD40, spell it out, D-U-B-Y-A-D-40.com. But this article is linked at Bart Kopp to the Chicago Sun-Times. And what he said is that Evanston Township high school students in Illinois, quote, "don't know anything about World War II, and they've probably never even heard the name of Adolf Hitler." Now, why would this fool say such a thing? Oh, there went Bob. He called Flush Flemball a fool. I say things that the rest of you think, and I just have the guts to say them. Why would this fool say this about these hardworking high school students? And it is one of the better high schools in the area. He says it because they have what's called a multicultural curriculum in which they try to learn about other cultures. For instance, it might be beneficial to learn that showing the soles of one's bare feet to an Arab constitutes extreme high insult. Right? Or, let's see, what's another one? Belching, I don't know. Belching at the table in a Japanese home is considered a compliment to the chef? I don't know. See, I'm not. But Flush Flemball thinks that multiculturalism, my friends, it will be the demise of the United States. What multiculturalists is balkanizing this country. What multiculturalists is balkanizing this country. What Flush Flemball is torturing the grammar of this language. What multiculturalists is balkanizing this country. People are coming here from various parts of the world, and they're bringing their cultures with them, and the multiculturalists are saying, your culture is better than the American culture. The American culture is discriminatory. It's racist, sexist, bigot, homophobic. So, here's Flush attacking the school kids at Evanston Township High School in Illinois. And it's, among other things, he says they don't know anything about World War II or Adolf Hitler. What an idiot. What an idiot this man is. You got to remember, he's a dropout. He's just another Republican loser with no morals, no conscience, no compunction. This is a school, Evanston Township High School, with a significant Jewish population. But they don't know nothing about no Adolf Hitler nor no World War II multiculturalists is balkanizing the country. Now, here's the fun part, though. The students at Evanston Township High School found out about this, and they have challenged the great drug addicted gas bag to a debate. Limbaugh is, of course, running and hiding, because unless he's got a call screener to make sure that no one gets on who isn't planning on saying, "Omega dittos for 19 years there, Rush, my IQ keeps dropping like a paralyzed falcon every time I tune in," you're not getting on the air there. And even those people get on maybe, what, one person an hour? So, unless he can control the terms, he won't debate. But these teenagers are more than willing to hand him his rear end. Rush, is this your big, fat, nasty rear end that we're handing to you? Yes, it is. But you see, multiculturalism is a means of trying to stop things like the Holocaust. A means of trying to stop people from, say, looking at people with a different skin color and saying, well, you must therefore be bad. In other words, it's a way of countering Republican bigotry, Republican prejudice, Republican hate for the others. Because, again, right-wing talk radio has risen in this country on the principle that the way to bring someone to your side is to point out that it's someone else's fault, some other group's, the others, them, those, they, rather than the force of argument or the strength of one's position. Jane Byleiter said, "It's funny to me that someone would say we don't know about World War II. We live in a large Jewish community. They even have activities for Holocaust Remembrance Week every year." He said, "Until 10th grade, all we did was U.S. and European history. It's just so false that what he says is funny." Anybody here ever read Dr. Seuss's The Sneetches? That's an abject lesson in multiculturalism. Remember, some Sneetches were better than others because some Sneetches had stars on their bellies and others had no stars upon bars. I remember it well. For a little kid coming up through school right after integration, it made really good sense to me as a kid. Well, the Sneetches are a lesson in what Flimball hates. Because Flimball can only succeed if he can say that Americans are better than everybody else. Let's see, what kind of name is Limbaugh? Would that be Sue? Would that be Crow? Would that be Cheyenne, Navajo, Hopi, Creek, Seminole, Cherokee? No, I think it's German. I do believe it's German, by Jove. So that would be mean that Flimball's family was another one of those families that came from the old country and brought their traditions here. That would be multiculturalism, wouldn't it? Aaron Becker, who teaches the Middle East class at Evanston Township High School, says his students are also considering sending Limbaugh essays they've written on American history. They should know better. "This is a perfect teachable moment," Becker said. "Kids are angry and want to respond by showing they know a lot, that it's not a zero-sum game, that you can learn about more than one history." But Becker, who is apparently a very good teacher, said, "The kids will decide best how to respond. Aaron Hamilton, a senior at the high school, says it's not even worth responding to. He has nothing to say about my education and my future. Isn't that the truth? But is it as disturbing to you that, as it is to me, that you've got people out there who want to turn Americans against other Americans by virtue of the color of their skin, or the way they speak, or the food they eat, or the clothing they wear? Whatever happened to the melting pot? Whatever happened to I lift my lamp beside the golden door? Whatever happened to give me your tired, your hungry, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free? Well, apparently, in Republican world, unless they're going to breathe the Republican air and drink the Republican Kool-Aid, they're damned well not welcome here, and they better not be their lives and their cultures and their existence aren't simply not worth learning about. I don't know about you, but I just find that sickening. Because I was raised in such a way that it was always fascinating to meet someone from somewhere else and learn a little bit more about the world. That there was something outside the tiny confines of the place where I was growing up, living at the time, whatever. And I suspect most of us feel that way. But 5 million people listening to him thought, the ditto heads. Now, I realize there's not many people that listen to him here anymore. But the ditto heads across the country. Yeah, Russia's right. It's a bad thing to learn about other cultures because, America's better than everybody else. Let's go ahead and take our break. And when we come back, your thoughts. The phone number, of course, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for Chevrolet Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And as easy as 1, 2, 3, great prices, selections, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas, side and drive with zero down, and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring Sales Event. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Rollmakers Drive in Beckley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices. Big selection. No hassle. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. I'll select models for the food credit. Entrance includes the purchase adjustment. We'll buy for over 303 for less than 60 months and 6.5% of your highest offer ends 5/30/05.
Did you know 80% of child safety seats aren't used properly? Make sure your kids are always sitting safely in your car. Just stop by State Farm's Child Safety Day and get a car seat or booster seat inspection from a certified specialist. Hey, at State Farm, we have kids too. That's why we say we live where you live. And that's why, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Join us for Child Seat Safety Day at Hill Squad Insurance. Saturday, May 14th, 10 a.m. till 2:30 p.m. with free inspections from the Beckley Fire Department. Join us and protect your child.
When there's a tornado or there's a forest fire, when Mother Nature is at her worst,
when there's a search
and there's a rescue,
where there are Americans in need,
when disaster strikes,
or one volunteer force,
helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
WWNR Beckley.
With radio maturity, Head On.
All right, so we know that Republicans and their chief spokesman, Flush Flimball, despise those other people, those different people, those strange people, those people speaking with odd accents, those people who don't dress quite right. The others. Now, connect the dots. Couple that up with what we've learned about John Bully Boy Bolton. This is a guy, you know, he'll probably be confirmed by the Republican Senate because even without a recommendation of confirmation coming from the committee, they would most likely, well, they would confirm the devil himself as long as George Bush appointed him because they care more about George Bush and party politics than they do about their roles as members of the legislative branch. So John Bully Boy Bolton is going to be confirmed as our ambassador to the UN, and he will shame us there. But we also know now that this is a guy who repeatedly took his wife to a very, very well-known sex palace in the 70s and 80s in New York. It was called Plato's Retreat. And he there compelled his wife to engage in group sex against her will. So there's a simple question. And I direct this to any of the fiends within the sound of my voice who voted for Bush. Are these the kind of escapades that you had in mind while you were having kittens with crocheted tails about gay marriage and how marriage is a sacred union and ordained by God of one man and one woman? Is that what you had in mind? Good Republicans who take their wives to sex clubs and force their wives to engage in group sex, is that a traditional family value for you? Are those the traditional family values you were pushing on us during the election? Because, you see, these are the people you said represent traditional family values. Now, if those are your ideas of traditional family values, and I think deep in the black little hearts of many fiendish Bush voters they probably are, then I'm kind of at a loss for what to say, except that I encourage you to keep your traditional family values to yourselves, you sick Republicans. Keep them to yourselves. And you can stop hollering about the gay marriage stuff now, because two gay people getting married isn't nearly as disturbing to me as the sick, perverse, non-consensual sexual compulsions of your average Republican. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The second Fayette County Circuit Judge has told supporters at Crawley Bridge High School they must include the West Virginia Board of Education in a lawsuit that seeks to keep that school open. Judge John Hatcher yesterday in Fayetteville dismissed a lawsuit filed by Crawley Bridge Citizens for Equal Education. He said the group could include the state school board or appeal his decision. Group members decided to include the state board. Judge Hatcher indicated he would transfer the case to Kanawha County. Barry Bruce, lawyer for the Crawley Bridge residents, said the Fayette County School Board was at fault for mistakes it made in the closure. But Hatcher said Bruce was raising questions about fundamental points in state education law. Fayette County Circuit Judge Charles Vickers in April dismissed a similar lawsuit because the group did not include the state school board as a defendant. The Fayette County School Board voted in December to close Crawley Bridge High School, Middle School, and also Montgomery Middle School. Students would be moved to a reconfigured Valley High School and Valley Elementary School in Smithers. A Raleigh County man is dead after leading police on a Wednesday morning chase through two counties. Sophia police had tried to pull over William Harvey Jr. of Lester just before 3 o'clock in the morning for speeding and swerving his car. The car sped away, and officers pursued it on State Route 54 into Wyoming County. The chase ended near Mabin when Harvey's car went out of control in a curve and hit a parked log trailer near the Easy Stop gas station. Lester was pronounced dead at the scene, the incident under investigation by the Wyoming County Sheriff's Office. Authorities in Putnam County have arrested a man suspected in last week's abduction of his 3-year-old daughter from Fayette County. Kerry McClanahan was arrested around 8 last night at his mother's home in Polka. Fayette County Sheriff Bill Laird says McClanahan is wanted for taking her daughter from her mother's Plum Orchard home last Friday, as well as assaulting the mother. McClanahan was arraigned in Putnam County Magistrate Court on 2 counts each of domestic battery and felony child concealment. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening and tonight, low 57. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely, mostly in late afternoon, tomorrow's high near 75. Showers and thunderstorms likely tomorrow night, and for Sunday, a chance of showers early in the morning. Then the rest of the day, mostly cloudy and cooler, Sunday's high only near 62. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
With all eyes focused on the turbulence at United Airlines, baggage handlers at Alaska Airlines may soon be having their wings clipped. The airline, which has nearly 500 baggage handlers in Seattle, is considering bringing in an outside vendor for that hub. The private contractors would be replacing seasoned union workers during the summer vacation season, potentially causing a headache for travelers. The announcement of hiring private workers comes as the baggage handlers, represented by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, rejected the airline's final contract offer. More than 80% of the union members also voted to authorize a strike. Union officials say the contract would have shifted a heavy health care burden onto workers, while eliminating double overtime and slashing wages and benefits.
Senator Ted Kennedy says that labor, civil rights groups, and others interested in checking corporate and Republican political power should pay close attention to the expected attempt next week by Republicans to end the filibuster rules in the U.S. Senate. Kennedy says this is a dangerous power grab by Republicans that will have broad and adverse impact on our system of checks and balances on political power.
Every American should know that we're facing a confrontation of historic proportions the coming days on the Senate floor. If the Republican leadership succeeds in breaking the rules of the Senate to change the rules of the Senate, we will have a reverse revolution that could turn back the clock 229 years to the time when we were subjects of a king with absolute power.
Democratic National Committee Chair Howard Dean says if Republicans succeed in ending the Senate filibuster, more than just routine judicial nominees are at stake.
It affects the Supreme Court of the United States. This is a Republican power grab.
Senator Kennedy says right now there are 49 firm votes to block the GOP action, with 7 Republicans undecided.
A plan by the Metropolitan Transportation Authority of New York City to automate a large portion of its subway system could lead to the elimination of hundreds of union workers. However, that isn't the primary concern of the conductors. Joe Campbell, a member of the Transport Workers Union Local 100, said he has safety concerns. In August of 2003, New York was hit by a citywide blackout.
Over 2 million people were rescued from the subway and from the L's and the tunnels, primarily by the train operators and the conductors. And without them, I don't think that it would have been possible.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. Real median household income in the U.S. stands at $43,318. White households take in $48,000, while blacks have a median household income of just $30,000, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Hispanic households saw their real median household income decline by 2.6% from 2002 to 2003. Median household income is highest in the West and Northeast, lowest in the South. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Again, the phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-WWNR. That's 9967. Learn it, know it, use it. Email to bob at headonradio.com. And by all means, go through the station site, over to my website, headonradio.com, and join in the message boards. There's a lot of fun going on over there. To be honest, I try to stay out of the fracas just because I want to let you guys do it. I'm here 3 hours a night, and I try to leave that as a forum for the other 21 hours a day. So feel free to cruise on by. It's not going to cost you anything. Jump right in and make merry. I got an email from our friend Scotty, who sent a link to a site called Reformation, R-E-F-O-R-M, ATION, reformation.com. It's a list, and as far as I can tell, and as far as he could tell, it only comes forward to about 2003, so that means any numbers that you see there are probably doubled, of good, in particular, right-wing religion industry, sexual abusers of little kids. And you can read the little case studies of each and every one of these men of God. And you can draw your own conclusions. As I've said before, I won't leave my children alone in the presence of a minister. For very good reason. Now let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Hey.
Good evening. How are you?
Pretty good. Got to turn that down in the background.
I didn't have it on.
Oh, okay. Well, there's some sort of an echo going on. Okay, whatever.
My goodness, it's space alien.
I guess.
Well, maybe they're coming over from Washington, right?
The pod people. I mean, they live in the White House anyway, so
yeah,
you know, what do you want?
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay.
Okay. Well, listen, did you get my emails?
Yes, I did.
Good. What's the magic word?
I got one email.
Okay.
With regard that had the PDF of the, help me here.
The Brack.
Yeah, Brack. And see, it's funny. It sticks in my head because there's a cartoon character named Brack, from Space Ghost. And I don't know who comes up with these words, but, you know, I wish someone would. They need to hire somebody like me just to go, no, guys, we don't want to call it BRAC. People will be thinking of that cartoon character.
Well, that's just a world of acronyms, friend.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
used to them. I've lived all my life with acronyms, you know, base realignment and closure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take a look at it. And if I were you, I'd print it out. And when you print it out and look at the elements of the activities that are going away, and the ones that are remaining and where they're going, you might find some interesting trends.
Really? What did you spot?
Well, I mean, I'm going to leave that up to you.
Okay.
Some of the things are pretty obvious.
I mean,
for example, your defense, finance, and accounting, DFAS is what it's called, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're being hubbed anyway because of electronic transfer and things like that. No one base needs its standalone finance and accounting office anymore.
Right.
And that's understandable. And the reserves have been consolidating for years. Ever since 1994, they've been undergoing tremendous, I'm talking about the selected reserve, not the National Guard.
Right.
They've been undergoing a lot reorganization in their structure. I mean, back in 94, they went from 46 or 50 different MUSARCs to like 10 regional support groups and three regional support commands. I mean, 10 commands in three groups. So, I mean, you know, they've been transferring a lot of, units and things like that. That's ongoing.
Right.
But I'll tell you one thing. I think Mr. Lieberman and his, affectations with Mr. Bush, it sure didn't do him a whole hell of a lot of good, did it?
Well, do you think maybe he's capable of learning now? He was.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, there's some people up at the Electric Boat Corporation that are very, very upset.
Well, now we know they're closing the sub base at Groton. Is that going to shut down the Electric Boat?
That's right.
Yard as well.
That's right. Everything. They're talking about, I don't know how many, 15,000 workers.
That'll cripple that area.
Of course it will.
Not that George
and you'll
Bush
notice
cares,
the D-Lingua sort of took it up the wazoo, too.
Yes, they did.
I mean,
yes,
that's what
did.
I'm trying to tell you.
A friend, well, you've heard Chris call in from time to time from Alabama.
Yeah.
He was emailing with me earlier, and he said that they did manage to save Redstone Arsenal. And if you think about what, my God, that would have crippled all of North Alabama.
Well, Redstone Arsenal is just more than just Redstone Arsenal, too. There's a lot of stuff down there. There are a lot of co-activities in that area, Bob.
Oh, I know. The manufacturers. Well, significantly similar to the Electric Boat Yard.
Right.
And but you'll notice that...
And they sure cleaned out the District of Columbia. Bowling Air Force Base, Walter Reed, they're all being realigned. You notice that? There's nothing left in Washington, D.C., in the military district of Washington.
Well, what are we going to do if another Cessna O'Terror approaches the no-fly zone.
Well, the plan is supposed to come out of Andrews. But they can't scramble what type of jet craft from Andrews. Hell, I used to work there. Andrews, and he has to go into the city. That's a hell of a long way.
Well, and the thing is, you know, September 11, 2001, Jim, how successful were they scrambling out of Andrews then?
We won't even go there because you know how successful they were. They didn't get one plane off the ground from Andrews, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean,
Maybe Bush trying to get his sorry hide somewhere. But
well, that's the thing. They got fewer planes off the ground from Andrews on 9/11 than we got off the ground at Pearl Harbor on December 7th.
Yeah, it wasn't right, exactly. And so is just going to, you know, I don't know, these Democrats in name only, Lieberman, you know, I'd just as soon see his sorry ass go anyway.
Well,
I bear him little, if any, affection.
Well, it would be nice if Connecticut could find a progressive to run against him in the primary, because it's no win to have another Kool-Aid drinker take him out. I mean, he only drinks the Kool-Aid at cocktail hour. Whoever would replace him from the Republican side, Jim, would be, you know, have an intravenous feed hooked up.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about a Democrat who would, you know, have the ability to, you know, to have a pair.
Yeah, exactly.
Like him,
but you're absolutely right. I mean, there was a whole boatload of payback in this for most of New England.
Oh yeah, and in the South, I mean, good God, I mean, South Carolina made off like a bandit.
Well, so did, according to Chris, so did Alabama. I mean, they got some reserve centers closed, yada, yada, consolidated, blah, blah. Maxwell Air Force Base, untouched. Fort McClellan, untouched.
But Georgia, something happened in Georgia. Georgia, sweet Georgia. I mean, I guess they'll let them sing if we suffer long enough, or whoever it is, because, you know, let's see. Fort McPherson used to be the Force Com headquarters, and now I think it's called the Youth Arc or something down there. It's been a while since I worked with those people. That's been, God, 15 years ago when I worked with the Army Reserves. And, but that used to be big doing. See, there was a, you know, you had, Atlanta has a tremendous federal presence there. It's the nerve center of the Southeast.
Well, yeah, but you've
got Gillum, McPherson.
But you've also got to remember
the Youth Arc.
But McPherson falls within the general strategic bounds of Atlanta, right?
Yeah, but see what they were supposed to do. The Youth Arc was outside of Atlanta in a regular building. Youth Arc means United States Army Reserve Command. That
right.
was the headquarters for the reserves. Well, they transferred that function to Fort McPherson.
But what I'm getting at is,
what they've done now, what they're going to do now is, I don't know.
But if you look at an electoral map, Jim,
right?
Atlanta is extremely blue. I mean, it's navy blue. It's dark blue. It's midnight blue. Naturally, McPherson takes it on the chin. On the other hand, what down there by Columbus? What is it? Fort Stewart?
Right.
Untouched, nice and red. Untouched.
Well, that's where Storm and Norman came from, you know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And, you know, as far as this idiot, Dickerson, is that his name, is going to the UN?
Oh, Bolton.
Bolton, I'm sorry. That's okay. Let him go.
Sure.
You know, he'll show his ass up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll basically make Bush to be the idiot that he is. I mean, look at who they sent before. I mean, Negroponte, stained with the blood of the Iran-Contra death squads.
The Honduran, Guatemalan, El Salvadoran, right-wing fascist murderers.
I mean,
these are the people that killed Bishop Oscar Romero. These are the people who killed the Mary Knoll nuns?
Yeah, sure.
And Negroponte said, oh, cool, kill a few more.
Well, all I can say is, you know, these people, and this is just my personal theory, and I hope I'm not wrong, I'm not that smart. I'm not nearly as clever as I pretend to be, but I'm not stupid either. But I'll tell you, I think they're having their brief gaudy hour. The main thing that I'm scared of is this nuclear option.
Well, I was gonna say, if you're interested,
the main thing. As long as they can keep that filibuster alive.
Well, if you go to salon.com, There is an excellent article on the nuclear option. You know, you click and you get the day pass. You know what I'm talking about? You have to watch an ad, and then, boom, you've got access to all of Ceylon. There is an article on it's a primer on this, on how the whole nuclear option thing plays out. And the one thing you come away with from it is that there is no way, there is absolutely no way that this nuclear option can be played out without absolutely destroying the countless precedents, you know, 200-year precedents of the Senate.
Well, that's what Ted Kennedy just said on the news. You're right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And part of it, you know, part of it's really sleazy stuff where Dick Cheney has to come in and say, oh, I rule that Senate Rule Number 22 is unconstitutional.
Oh yeah,
you know, like that guy even knows what the. Come on, Dick Cheney, George Bush, neither one of them have ever even read. You know, it's like Haman Frist. They've never even read the Constitution of the United States. They have no regard for it. They've got less regard for the Constitution than they do for a TV guide.
Let me ask you about one other thing. I understand that Air National Guard thing up on Coonskin Drive up at Charleston.
Yeah.
That function is being transferred to where, Pope? Or which Air Force
Base? I don't know.
Its function is being transferred to another air base.
I'm looking here at the AP story that we got at a little after 3 today. But I don't see anything on here about the 130th Airlift Wing.
Well,
so I thought they had dodged the bullet.
No. Bird was protesting about something about one. I believe it was that one. He said they've been there for us, and we got to be there for them because apparently they got hit. If you look at that list, I don't know if you have it there. I sent it to two addresses.
You said okay. I got it. I got it on my headonradio.com address. I've got to call it up.
Well, I'll tell you what you need to do, my friend. You need to print it out and take a ruler and just line through it.
I'll see about doing that.
Because it's one thing. It's hard to read those letters. They're real small on a CRT. But if you take a look at it in the paper, you see interesting things.
No, I will. I'll take a good long hard look at it. I saw an editorial cartoon today that brought a lot home. It had some metal bedecked general with a piece of paper behind his back that said Iraq War, and he's leaning over George's desk and he says, "Sir, if you've got some bases that you'd like to close, I mean, I got a list here that would be really good, you know, basically Iraq."
And you know those people. I understand there was a story on CNN today where they are beginning to just look at Americans and say, "Please go home. We just want some kind of peace. Just leave."
Well, and it's not just Iraq. And of course, you know, we're not much coverage as usual, thanks to the, thanks to the liberal media. There are riots. I mean, fierce, ferocious riots erupting across the Muslim world. The worst of it, oddly enough, is in Afghanistan because of the story that came out. I don't know if you caught it or not, Jim. But this story that came out talking about when some of the things that transpired while we were torturing prisoners at Guantanamo.
Uh-huh.
Prisoners witnessed Americans flushing Qurans down the toilet.
Well, I mean, that's just
and that
that's
came
just
out,
nuts.
That came out, I think, in either this or last week's Newsweek. And, of course, they don't take kindly to that.
No, they don't. And listen, there's one more thing, and I'm not trying to hit bash DOD. No, I'm not. That was my home for many years. But are you familiar with the latest little scandal with Utherex?
No.
About the recruiter?
Oh, yes.
And the kid in the high school newspaper?
Yeah, we covered that last week.
Yeah, well, you know, that is something else. I mean, he was going to buy the kid this type of drug that would give him a clear urine sample.
Correct. And before that, he also taught him how to phony up a high school diploma from some, you know.
On the Internet.
Well, yeah, from some Baptist high school. And they were just going to phony it up, and the military would take it, and he knew because he'd done it before. And I saw an interview with the young man today, and he said, "Look, I got nothing against the military," but he said, "at some point I may be over there, and I want to know that I can, the guy I'm standing next to that's got my back, I want to know that he's not sitting there going through withdrawal or jonesing for his meth."
That's right.
And it made abundant sense to me. But again, I don't necessarily blame these recruiters, Jim.
Well, listen, they're under tremendous pressure. And there was one Marine recruiter on CNN today, and he said that he basically, during his second year as a recruiter, was on antidepressants, and it drove him out of the service. And he said he had given his life to the Marine Corps, and it was taking him a long time just to get what was left of it back. And in order to, you know, for this machine to be satisfied, it has a voracious appetite. They have to have 80,000 bodies a year.
Right. And he was under a quota of something like 2 a month, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, have you noticed that the Army has come out with its shortest enlistments in its history now?
That's right.
15 months?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think they failed to meet their mission twice.
No, 3 months now. 3 months in a row that they failed to meet.
Every day they have what's called Mission Day. Every month, okay? They'll have a Saturday called Mission Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when everybody has to work overtime over there at that recruiting battalion. And, you know, their object is to make mission. And if they don't make mission, then, you know, you get people getting counseling statements and reprimands and things like that. And, you know, being a recruiter is a hard life. It's a hard job. And it's a hard life.
Well, yeah, and I think I must have seen the same report that you saw, Jim, on CNN. They had the general in charge of recruiting for the Army. And he said, well, you know, the influence people, talking about parents, well, they're very hard to convince these days. And I was wondering if he was just mincing up weasel words, or if somewhere inside his head he realized that he was in charge of a most improbable, unlikely, and damn near impossible mission, simply because of the fact that our military, which to me is precious, had been so cruelly and cynically used. Has that dawned on any of them?
No, I mean, these kids that they're looking at, they don't want to go somewhere and either A, not come back, or B, come back in several pieces.
Yeah, so what if you sign up for 15 months? You know, how long's basic? 8 weeks?
Nine,
okay, so that's 15.
And 9 additional to get an MOS.
Yeah,
in the Army.
So that's 18 weeks, mm-hmm. And you're
headed for Southwest Asia.
Yeah, the minute you get out. I mean, if you sign on for those, and so it's not going to be a 15-month sign-up. It's going to be maybe a 19, 20, 21-week sign-up until they can get you over there for force protection. Now, that's another one of those stupid military
and you know how much
phrases.
They promise is worth, then they could probably say, stop loss, you can't get out, we're sorry.
Right.
You know,
but you know they may be.
I mean, they've got fine print on those things.
Yeah, but never mind 15 months. They may be dead in 22 weeks.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I just wonder what the lifespan of somebody in those areas is. You know, like it used to be in Vietnam.
Yeah,
not very long, particularly for certain types of people, officers, things like that. I'll tell you something. Your military is a valuable tool, and you can't afford to misuse it. And it should be used wisely.
But it has not been.
Not to be just thrown around and expended and just, because when you do that, this prospect of the volunteer army is extremely delicate anyway.
It has been misused though, Jim. It absolutely has been.
Well, of course it has been. Yes, it has. Unfortunately, it has been. I mean, one of your callers, I think, either on your show or Dr. Bill's show, I think it was your show, said that basically, if you look throughout history, with the exception of World War II, it had been necessary for us to get involved in all these things.
Right.
That was about the only one, you know. I mean, I don't know about World War I and unrestricted submarine warfare of the Kaiser, but I know that Korea, that was not essentially necessary, I don't think. I don't know.
Vietnam certainly was.
Vietnam was certainly unnecessary, and some of the other stuff we've been involved in. I don't know, Bob. It's hard to figure out. But, I mean, you know, like I say, it takes a person a lot smarter and a lot wiser than me to come to some of these answers. But so I can detect some pretty obvious trends, and they just don't add up to me.
I'll try to get this thing printed out during the break. Jim, I appreciate it. I enjoyed the conversation. You have yourself a great weekend, all right?
And likewise, my friend.
All right, take care. So, did you know the story about the Quran flushing? Yeah, that's one of those things that we like to do down at Guantanamo. And even though we turned some people loose and sent them to their homes in Britain because we had no business holding them, we told them, don't you dare say what went on in here. But, of course, these people had been tortured and tormented and treated, dragged through to hell and back down there. And, of course, they did tell people. And the word got out. The story was carried in Newsweek. And in order to torture Muslim prisoners of war at Guantanamo, you know, detaining my left hind foot, in order to torture prisoners at Guantanamo, one of the things we did was we preyed upon their superstitions. And part of that had to do with taking their holy book and flushing it down a toilet. And now the Muslim world is on fire and rioting. But of course, it couldn't be George Bush's fault, now could it? Nah. I'm sure it's Bill Clinton's or some other liberals, right? Doesn't that just make you sick? You can't convince me that someone was not taught to do the little Quran trick. And then, well, you know, it's that whole do unto others as you would have them do unto you thing. I wonder how the fundies around here would respond to a Bible burning. No, I'm not going to burn any Bibles. I don't have any inclination to burn any Bibles, but you got to wonder how the fundies would respond to it. Have an absolute screaming kittens with crocheted tails hissy fit? Oh, I think. So it's time for our top of the hour news, and another hour has flown by. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, there were three little bears, the mama bear, the daddy bear, and the baby bear, and they lived in a cottage.
This year, United Way worked to ensure quality child care for over 6,555 children in Kansas City, and it doesn't matter. To do so, we coordinated the efforts of 95 providers, 11 partners, and 8 different funders, and it doesn't matter. We helped thousands of families in 8 different counties. And it still doesn't matter. The number of centers and services doesn't really matter. What matters are the children now with a chance and families now with a future.
Hey, honey, breakfast is ready.
Coming, honey.
Your United Way investment, magnified by others who invest the United Way, has the real power to bring about the results that matter where you live. What matters? United Way.
WWNR. Tight budget have you going out less? Stretch your entertainment dollars by visiting a library in the newly formed Mountain Library Network. One card travels with you to libraries in 16 West Virginia counties. Stop by a participating library to sign up for your new card and to check out the benefits. Many libraries, one card does it all.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
I'm home.
You can forget report card day.
How was school?
Yeah, my mom and dad sure didn't. Why don't we take a look at that report card? Do it.
Can Jimmy come out and play?
Oh, not this month. He'll be doing homework with his dad.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Some heavy rumblers came through earlier. We'll have to deal with them dissipating from here on out. Otherwise, a mostly cloudy overnight low, eventually about 58 degrees. 74 for Saturday with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at 4 and 10, the opportunity for that. Sunday, partial sunshine, a little cooler, high 67, and Monday, dry 58.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Sort of picking up where we left off. I am, by the way, Bob Kincaid. This, by the way, is head-on. And, by the way, the phone number is 252-6200 outside Beckley. We're more than happy to pay the freight. It's 800-620-WWNR. Email is bob@headonradio.com. Now, picking up where we left off, your thoughts, if you wish. First of all, who is the genius? I know. If you ask Don Rumfield, it's just a couple of bad apples. Yeah. Now, who's the genius that came up with the idea of flushing Qurans down toilets in front of prisoners of war? Who came up with that idea? Now, I realize that most of the decent folk who listen to this show understand that's a horrifying thing. The sad thing is that the Republicans, well, you know, I mean, it's like the, I told you, it's like the radio show I heard the other night where the fundamentalist preacher mentioned in passing, yeah, it's kind of a shame when them Muslims get blown up over there in Iraq, because, you know where they're going, and it ain't where they think, neither. That's the attitude that flushes Qurans down toilets in front of Muslim prisoners of war. And it's also, and again, see, our side, we know how to connect the dots. So we've got Flimball, and not just Flimball. We've got, you can hear it every night after my show when the Savage Wiener comes on. And he's screaming about the low-life Mexicans and it's low-life everybody but him. Again, the classic Republican maneuver. The Savage Wiener can say all night long what an independent he is. Bug spray. There's nothing independent about him. But again, it's that classic tactic. America's problems are caused by the others, them, they, the brown ones. Right. So, when some little wiseacre at Guantanamo didn't just dawn on him to flush a Quran down the toilet in front of Muslim prisoners of war. That didn't just dawn on him. It didn't just come to him. Any more than it just dawned on the female interrogator. Our friend Stephen in England sent me a link to a story. There's a new book out by someone who was there at Guantanamo and saw the torture and the abuse. And saw that. And I apologize if this is less than... I'm not going to be graphic about it. But one of our American female torturers... knowing that Muslim, or having been advised that Muslim men cannot go before Allah in an impure state, made a big production of rubbing menstrual blood on his face to the point that the man became so enraged that he almost broke his handcuffs and then just looked at him and said, good luck trying to communicate with your God now, boy. And then put him in a cell where he had no access to water. Now, understand, again, I don't go in for it's bad luck to walk under a ladder or let a black cat cross your path. I don't believe that the world is 5,000 years old. and that, you know, God created the Smith and Wesson 30-06 so that Adam and Eve could hunt the dinosaurs and kill the homosexuals. I don't go in for that superstition. Okay? And to a certain extent, anyone who is offended by that, you know, to the point of rage and fear and whatnot, is to a certain extent responsible by virtue of their superstition. But ultimately, the fault falls on the person who preys upon the superstition in these particular instances. Do you understand what I'm getting at? If you take someone who is extremely superstitious, put a gun to their head, and make them walk under a ladder, yes, the effect that is being had is a function of their superstition about ladders, but you, with the gun to their head, are ultimately responsible, and it is ultimately your cruelty and your torture that is the motivating cause. And because the story has gotten out, and of course, there are people within the audience who will say, well, see, it's the news media's fault for telling the story about how we's a-flushing Korans down the toilet. No. That's like, well, never mind what it's like. I'm going to get in trouble. But it is certainly a diversion from the principal cause, and the principal cause is the guy who is sitting there, you know, pushing down the plunger and dropping the book in. And as I've said a dozen times, if I've said it once, believe what you wish. It is none of my business, nor is what I believe any of yours. But if indeed there is a hell, it is a special place reserved for those who abuse people who have no means of defending themselves. And when you deliberately prey on someone's mind by flushing their holy book down the toilet, you're getting your ticket punched for the hot place. And, of course, now, again, Afghanistan is erupting for the third, fourth straight day in mass riots. They've spread to Pakistan. They've spread to Malaysia. These people are very, very, very sincere in their devotion to the book and what they believe to be the inspired word of God. You know, the Hebrew El, the Arabic Allah, the Aramaic Allaha, and they are willing to stand up and protest and defend offenses unto that invisible being. And we started it. It's not Newsweek's fault for publishing the facts. It is the people who did it who stand at fault for it. You understand the distinction? The right-thinking, decent, progressive, liberal people do. I probably use too many big words for the Republicans. Let's take a break, come back, take some phone calls. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Email bob@headonradio.com. It's Friday night. Let's have some fun. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even apply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto-match to work, rotating women with your favorite traits and qualities. bigger online dating sites so you are universal, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our four local groups.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. On Thursday, May 19th, from 6 to 9 p.m., the United Way and the Women's Resource Center will be sponsoring Celebrity Night in Raleigh, Fayette, and Nicholas counties. Celebrities from the local communities will be waiting tables, and all tips and donations go to the United Way and the Women's Resource Center. Make plans to join us for dinner at Applebee's, Black Knight Country Club, Foster's, or Pasquale's in Raleigh County. In Fayette County, visit Dirty Ernie's Rib Pit, Sedona Grill, Three Gables, or the Glen Ferris Inn in Fayette County. Enjoy yourself in Nicholas County at Applebee's, Caledonia, or the Steve Box. Make a lasting impression on your community by participating in Celebrity Night on Thursday, May 19th. Celebrity Night is underwritten by WLAY-TV in Oak Hill and Quick Prints in Beckley.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 18 minutes after 8. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Michelle is with us. Hey, Michelle, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Well, it was reported by the authors of that book, The Interrogation, in Guantanamo, right?
We're talking about two separate things. There's the one book, Inside the Wire.
Right. That's the one I'm talking about.
And then there is
where they put the menstrual blood on the guy, right?
Right.
Okay.
Wait, no, it wasn't menstrual blood.
Well, yeah, I know that. That's what I was going to point out.
Yeah, it was
you said it was menstrual blood.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. No, she stuck her hands in her pants, terrified the guy, slipped out, came back, used a red magic marker.
Or red ink, whatever. The point is, he thought.
Right, she was preying upon his mind.
He thought that it was, okay, and that's an interrogation technique.
No, that's torture.
It's an interrogation technique.
Well, you know, I believe these people are weak-minded.
Who's weak-minded? These terrorists are weak-minded.
Well, first of all, you don't know that the person was a terrorist.
That's correct.
In fact, the person
some indication that either he had the capability to be one, or he was supplying information to them.
No, sorry. I mean, we've sent people home to Britain that we said, you had absolutely nothing to do with terror. We just caught you in a sweep, but I'm sorry we've wasted 3 years of your life. You can go home now, but don't dare talk
about
it.
Well, I understand that happened then, and that also happened when we interred all the Japanese.
Yeah, in a much greater degree with interning Japanese.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, I don't think that our military is that irresponsible, especially now that since they're in the spotlight, that they're just going to blatantly do things like that. I really, truly don't believe that they would. They must have had some indication that this man or these men or these people have some information that they need.
No, see, when you get into a torture mindset, Michelle, you don't have to necessarily believe that. Because you're under.
Okay.
What you're saying
is that our military is in a torture mindset.
In Guantanamo, absolutely, and more than one soldier has said that.
Okay, and would you know why? They might be.
Because they
compelled.
Because they've been compelled from higher up.
No, not compelled. Why would the individual soldiers?
Because they have been told to get information out of these people by whatever means possible. And the orders did come from higher up, but we don't hold those people responsible. We just, you know, we make sure we put on show trials with Lindy England and Charles Grainer, and we talk about bad apples.
Well, yeah, you found out what happened with Lindy England.
Yeah, she walked.
Yes, she walked.
And she, frankly, probably deserved to walk.
Well, you know, I don't mean to speak bad of the girl, but she has vacancy written all over her.
Well, yeah, and that's the whole point. It's an, you know, how in God's name did she get in the military to begin with?
Especially since they're bringing now out her past about her kindergarten and this and that.
Yeah, I mean, she had no business being there.
It's the Army. It's bodies.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same mindset of this kid who exposed the recruiter who said, you know, like, you know, we'll dummy up a diploma and I'll take you somewhere and get you a urine cleanse kit so the mushrooms and the marijuana won't show up.
Well, I don't have so much a problem with mushrooms and marijuana as I do with other things. But, you know, because you're not going to get any mushrooms and marijuana when you're in the military.
No, I understand that. But, you know, by the same token, the kid said, well, what about the fact that I smoke marijuana and use mushrooms? And what did the recruiter said? Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you, son. Didn't hear what you said.
But other recruiters will block you off their list and say no. You can't come in.
Well, at one point you would have been absolutely correct, Michelle, but with 3 months of missing quotas, it's becoming more and more and more acceptable.
Okay.
Inside the recruiting culture.
Okay. And so, what's wrong with that? When you come right down to it, we need people in the military, and those are the only people willing to go.
Well, the young man who busted this particular recruiter, I thought said it very well. He said, I might be over there one of these days, and I don't want to think, and I don't want to have it happen, that the guy standing next to me who has my back is busy jonesing for his meth.
Well, yeah, but you're...
Or in withdrawal.
Well, you're ignoring the fact that once you're inducted into the Army or any type of armed services, you go through an extensive training period where you don't get the meth. You go cold turkey and
right,
you're
done. Right, so just jonesing. Yeah, and that's not going to make for a very good soldier.
Oh, I think it might make for one of those super soldiers, like you're talking about, maybe one of the interrogators.
No, those were very planned strategies, plain and simple. And I mean, we know.
But
we,
you know,
we know that they
plan with that.
The planning started out with Guantanamo, and then they were transferred over to Abu Ghraib. It's that simple. You know, the military has owned up to some of that. You know, why do you think John Negroponte wound up over there?
Well, I agree, but I just wanted to argue the point about the need for interrogation such as that. I didn't mean to state that was appropriate at that time.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, you know.
But you can't say that it's not appropriate ever.
There are other means and other methods.
Give me one. If your daughter is kidnapped and you've got the guy, what means are you going to go through to get your daughter back?
That's a different circumstance.
It's not a different circumstance.
Of course it is. No,
this is a
militarily sanctioned.
Yes, and what do our military do? We protect our families at home.
From what?
From whatever we have to.
No. I mean, what's a guy in chains in Guantanamo going to do to our family at home?
I don't know, but he might have information to lead to some plan that might endanger us.
Right, and that's how we got into Iraq, Michelle, is just engaging in these paranoid fantasies that people from third world countries that had never lifted a finger against us were out to do us in.
Okay, you're saying that the guys in Guantanamo are totally innocent of anything.
Not all of them, but a number of them. You know,
so you're saying that due process has not been visited on these guys.
Oh, God, no. That's why they're in Guantanamo. If they were on American soil...
That's totally different.
You know, and the fact of the matter is, that you know, like I said, we've sent people to Britain back home saying, "Yep, sorry, didn't mean to rip your thumbnails out. I guess you really don't know anything, huh?" And then told them on pain of death that if they mentioned anything about it, we would come and get them. You know, I'm proud of my country, Michelle. I love my country.
I know you
I was
are.
Raised that, and my country is better than that. My country is a beacon of hope and freedom.
That's right. That's
for
right.
The
Your country is a
for the entire world. My
beacon
country
of hope and freedom because there are people willing to do the dirty job.
No, because my country does not torture people like the Nazis tortured people.
Yes,
my
yes,
country
yes, we
does
do.
Not my country
we
does not
do.
My country does not torture people like Stalin tortured people.
Stalin killed people.
Yes. Yes. And that is why I am so upset. We're not being the country that I was taught about and raised to love and revere and respect.
Okay, well, do you share my opinion that we are between a rock and a hard place as far as we're either savior or scapegoat?
Maybe. But right now, because you're eliminating the possibility of a third choice, and that is what this nation has been turned into by these bloody thugs that have taken it over. We're not savior. We're not scapegoat. We're monster. Right now, we are a monster. We are the bully of the world. World opinion, country after country after country. Their citizens say that George W. Bush is a greater threat to world peace
okay.
than any other human being on the planet.
Okay. Okay, so then that says to me that we are a pack of hyenas who even a lion won't challenge because we're mean.
No, that sounds like there's something admirable in it, and there's not. There's nothing.
No, there's nothing admirable in protecting what you need to protect. It's not admirable. It's survival.
I almost agree with your hyena analogy because a hyena will never attack anything its own size. And a hyena prefers to attack things that cannot defend themselves and are already wounded. And by God, that's exactly what we did with
Iraq. You need to read the National Geographic this month and find out about hyenas.
Well, fine. But, I mean, you know, it's like our national symbol is the eagle. Again, a critter that will not attack anything its own size if it has to and prefers to feed on dead things.
That's not us. You know that's not us.
It's not what we used to be. It's what we are now. Michelle, we got to take our break.
All right. Thanks for your time, Bob.
Have a great weekend.
You too, baby.
Bye now. All right. Break time. You know, with every passing day, I become a little bit more impressed with the mind of Ben Franklin, who suggested the wild turkey as our national symbol. Because these bloodthirsty killers in the Bush administration are showing the eagle for what it is. Noble? Think again. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Paul Mike, WW, and our news. Three West Virginia Reserve centers would be closed and an Air National Guard unit would be stripped of its planes under a Department of Defense plan to save billions of dollars. Army Reserve centers in Huntington and Fairmont and a Navy Marine Center in Moundsville are among the more than 150 large and small military installations across the country recommended for closure. The Associated Press has also learned that the 8 C-130 turboprop cargo planes based at Charleston-based 130th Air National Guard Airlift Wing would be transferred to Pope Air Force Base in North Carolina. Authorities in Putnam County have arrested a man suspected in last week's abduction of his 3-year-old daughter from Fayette County. Kerry McClanahan was arrested at around 8 last night at his mother's home in Poca. Fayette County Sheriff Bill Laird says McClanahan is wanted for taking her daughter from her mother's Plum Orchard home on Friday of last week, as well as assaulting the mother. McClanahan was arraigned in Putnam County Magistrate Court on 2 counts each of domestic battery and felony child concealment.
At this time, obviously, the filing of the criminal complaints is merely that of an accusation. There will be preliminary proceedings in the Magistrate Court of Fayette County and the further processing of the accused through our court system here in Fayette County.
Laird says the child was found with McClanahan when he was arrested. She's been taken into emergency protective custody by officials from Child Protective Services. The economic impact of tourism and its future in the southern part of the state were the topics of the West Virginia Tourism Commission meeting Thursday at Canyon Rim Visitor Center. Studies show the number of whitewater rafting visitors to the New Ngauli River has dropped considerably in 2004 from the year before. Eric Torres with the West Virginia Professional River Outfitters says the industry peaked in the mid-90s, but the future still looks promising. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Still a chance of showers and thunderstorms, a slight chance. Tonight the same, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, low 57. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly late in the afternoon, with Saturday's high near 75. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Those free market ideologues who keep insisting that there's no such thing as a corporate class war being waged against the workaday people of our country might want to take a look at the Bronx Terminal Market in New York City for a classic example. This market is free enterprise in action. Some two dozen very unique independent merchants sell their foodstuffs here, drawing customers from as far away as Ohio. If you're looking for Ghanaian smoked shrimp, hot Jamaican peppers, or Philippine sea moss, the Bronx Market is your mother lode. These merchants are hard-working folks who start their days in the wee hours, providing the largest clearinghouse of ethnic foods on the East Coast. But New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg is no fan of true free enterprise. He's a Wall Street corporatist, and he's using his governmental power and taxpayers' dollars to drive these enterprising merchants out of business. In the name of economic development, he's trying to replace their homegrown businesses with a new plastic suburban-style mall featuring big-box chain stores from anywhere USA. Related Companies, a retail developer, is getting a sweetheart deal from Bloomberg to shove the small businesses out. He has waived some of the taxes the city normally assesses for such construction projects. He will let Related skip the expenses of producing an environmental impact statement. He has committed $80 million in city bonds to finance the deal, and he's agreed to repay Related's $32.5 million private development loan if its mall project fails. All of this giveaway to create yet another cookie-cutter mall. Bloomberg has tried to bribe the ousted merchants with some city loans to relocate. But the money is way too little to recreate their vibrant market. It's not even peanuts, says one merchant. It's peanut shells. This is Jim Hightower saying, politicos like Bloomberg preach free enterprise, but they practice corporate socialism, using it as a brutally effective weapon in their class war against small business.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. I don't know how to make it more plain that we have abandoned, you know, in corporate America, everybody has a mission statement. If you will go to the link on our website where we have our mission statement, we have a mission statement too. And it's manifested a number of ways. And I am proudly liberal, and I took very seriously the teaching that I got from my mother, my father, the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church, and a succession of brilliant teachers who told me not only what this country has been and what it was, but dared to dream of a better future. Because always, always at the end of a lesson was the idea that it can always get better. But if you suggest to a damn Republican that it can get better,
oh, you're un-American. America ain't good enough for you, right? Why don't you leave?
What kind of mind are you dealing with that believes there's no room for improvement? I had my sixth grade teacher, I guess it was, and you know how it was, maxims and mottos and yada yada yada. And it is better to aim high and miss than to aim low and hit. It's amazing the things that stick in your brain. I could also let go of a rousing chorus of On Top of Spaghetti right now, too. It's better to aim high and miss than aim low and hit, and it made some sense to me. But as long as you're trying to be better and better and better, odds are you will get better and better and better. Instead of these backward-looking troglodytes from the Republican Party who think that it's wrong to want to be better. I guess that,
if you're trying to get better, that probably leads to communism and evolution. Morons. Morons.
I'm surprised their knuckles aren't constantly scabbed over from walking on them. Yeah, you know, they run. These idiots go to the zoo, and the chimps run up to them in the primate house and mouth the word daddy. You know, then they're having the evolution debate. John Kepi and I were just discussing it. Great article at Salon, a real monkey trial, talking about the more or less modernized, reenacted Scopes monkey trial out in Kansas last week. One of the things you always hear from the anti-science, anti-common sense people is that, well, if evolution's real, why can't monkeys have human babies? Jesus. Anybody see the Republican National Convention? That should be enough to put the evolutionary debate to bed right there. Because Homo sapiens sapiens, the thinking man, not in the Republican Party, no sir, sunshine. I'll save that story for later. Another classic moment in Republican traditional family values. You know, I don't see a lot of advanced human thought in compelling one's wife to have group sex at a professional sex club in New York like John Bolton did. Because higher beings, consent means something to them. Not these people. Oh, brother. To the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on. Hey, Chris.
Hey, I can barely hear you.
I'm doing my best.
Okay. Did you see the press release from Amnesty International today?
No, I didn't.
On the U.S. War on Terror detentions. Oh, boy.
You got it there in front of you?
Yeah. This is a good little thing here.
Share.
A year after the Abu Ghraib torture scandal broke, conditions remain in place for torture and ill treatment in U.S. custody to occur. While the U.S. government is pursuing a public relations exercise to persuade the world that the Abu Ghraib photographs revealed was a small problem that has now been fixed, thousands of detainees in U.S. custody in Iraq, Afghanistan, Guantanamo Bay, and secret locations elsewhere remain at risk of torture or ill treatment. This is because of the USA's continuing pick-and-choose approach to international law and standards, and the systematic use of incommunicado detention and denial of judicial review, a basic safeguard against arbitrary detention, torture, and disappearance. disappearance.
Yeah, isn't that the technique that Pinochet used in Chile?
Stalin.
Yeah, him too. Yeah, remember, Chris, we're close enough in age. Remember during the bad old days of the Soviet Union how you'd hear people talking about how, you know, they just, the knock comes on your door and you go away and your family, you never knows what happened to you.
Yeah.
Well, we do that now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
America, it's the new Russia. I don't want to be the new Soviet Union. I don't like it.
I don't either.
But we've got people, and you know, they are these are the same people that you know that are into compulsory non-consensual sex, that, you know, diddle little children in
church.
I guess
you heard about that mayor.
Oh yeah, the Jim West.
Yeah.
what's it say in The Tempest? What a piece of work man is.
Another quote.
But these people, Chris, these people that do these things, these are the same people that think torture is okay as long as we do it in Jesus' name. And it's all over the place. There's a female Jewish Air Force officer who tried to blow the whistle on the what else can you call it but a putsch at the United States Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm.
They've got this weird right-wing religion industry freak in charge of the academy who's trying to ram his beliefs down everyone's throat there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, this country is in real peril, and the religion industry is what is imperiling it.
If hazing wasn't bad enough, then we'll attack you for your religion.
Sure.
What Republicans have got to understand, the ones that call into your show and the ones all over the world, there is no gray area when it comes to right and wrong.
Not on this stuff.
There's no gray area.
No.
It's either right or it's wrong.
Well, they're the ones that preach that there are moral absolutes.
You know, that gray area they seem to revel in?
Well, they say it doesn't exist.
Well, that gray area, that's the color of ash, right?
Yeah.
The death that just reeks from these beliefs they have?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, but again, they talk about holding on to moral, that there are absolute moral values, and yet at the same time, you're absolutely right. They absolutely traffic in gray.
Yeah.
Because it's only an absolute moral value if they're applying it to our side of the debate. If it's them, if the preacher wants to fondle the kids, maybe as long as we don't find out about it, it's okay.
Maybe the kid had it coming.
Or if he wants to rape some woman, well, you know, she was dressed that way. She was begging for it the way she was dressed.
All these battered moms that say, you know, they're so battered and they're so traumatized, they will actually say, it was my fault. You know, it was my fault that this happened. I did this or I did that. And they're so traumatized that that's what they believe.
Well, it's the Stockholm Syndrome.
What these kids think.
Sure. And if you want to Google up David Hager, he's the president's appointee to the Advisory Committee for Reproductive Health Drugs in the FDA.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, you want to read about it. This is a real classy guy,
Hager?
Chris. Hager, H-A-G-E-R, David Hager. He is a religion industry freak. His wife is divorced from him now because she got tired of being raped in her backside without her consent.
That's a Republican for you.
Sure. Well, how do you think other little Republicans are conceived?
Yeah, we won't. I could really.
Leave it alone. I've gone far enough.
That'll be for our own email. I've got another quote here from this thing put out by Amnesty International. More than a year after the United States Supreme Court ruled that the U.S. courts had the jurisdiction to consider appeals on detainees held at U.S. Naval Base in Guantanamo, Vancouver, not a single detainee has had the lawfulness of his detention judicially reviewed. Of course not. The report describes how the U.S. administration is continuing to seek to block such review every step of the way, or at least to keep it as far from a judicial process as possible.
Well, we don't want any of those activist judges looking at that kind of thing. By the way, if you hear some weird noise in the background, our utterly unintelligible emergency activation thingy is going off. So
I couldn't hear it. It's weird. They call it Combatant Status Review Tribunals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, combatant. Okay, when you go, it's a terrible joke. Robin Williams made one time. When you go to Neverland, you have to be this high to ride Michael. That's a terrible joke.
Yeah.
When they're judging combatants, how high do you have to be when these kids, you know, that we are holding, how high do they have to be combatant, terrorist? Is there certain levels in height?
Oh, no.
Just, you know.
No, basically the crucial element for being a combatant for the Bush administration, Chris, is being brown. If you're a brown person, you're a threat to America.
Yeah.
I mean, this is quite possibly one of the most hopelessly xenophobic, bigoted administrations that's ever occupied the White House.
You know,
if you're brown, you can be killed. If you're brown, you can be tortured. If you're brown, your holy book can be flushed down the toilet. That's how it works for these monsters.
Yeah, I've been in Mexico. I used to live in El Paso, and I used to go to Mexico a lot. And I have seen the way poor Mexicans are treated by Mexicans that are a little bit more wealthy.
Yeah.
Same thing. And living in the South, I have seen the civil rights movement very, very, very up close in terms of law enforcement. And more people say, well, you know, it's we've come so far. We've gotten so much better. No, we haven't.
No,
we
of course not.
We haven't at all.
This is still a bigoted nation.
We still have the problems here. Now we just carried them overseas.
Well, sure.
You know, if we can't put them on a boat and bring them over here, then we'll go to where they are.
Well, yeah, and you know, look at the Defense Department's attitude, Chris. They claim that they don't even count the civilian casualties. Now, what kind of a bigoted response is that? Well, it's not worth killing. They're AMRAAMs, they're worth killing, but they're certainly not worth counting.
I saw a thing on Hardball today. Mia Farrow was on there. She's with UNICEF, and she was talking, and they were making the point that the government in Darfur is Arab,
mm-hmm.
and the people of Darfur are not.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's a like in India with the untouchables, you know.
Right.
We know better for you. Trust us, we know better for you.
Right, of course.
Yeah, and the, and like I've said so many times before, we know better for you, so you just deal with it and go on. When every presidential campaign, every time a politician has opened their mouth, it's always tax cuts for the middle class. We have got to look out for the middle class. Well,
and then
I don't know what
happen.
Percent of the nation is, but a tremendous amount of this nation is nowhere even near the middle class.
Well, that's true. What's a family of three, poverty level, what, 13, 14 grand maybe?
Yeah, and to be able to rank about middle class, that's beyond a whole bunch of people.
Oh, absolutely, and yet, and again, the story from a couple of nights ago from the Financial Times of London, you know, that bastion of liberalism, for the first time that American real wages have decreased the most that they have done since the last time a Bush was in charge of the country.
Yeah. I want to touch on one more thing. I'm kind of
sure.
Like Dr. Mill, I'm going all over this.
That's okay.
You and I talked earlier today about the base closings.
Right.
And a point I wanted to make, I wrote you, and I wanted to make a point, was they're making the point that, well, you know, it's a lot of insignificant bases, you know, reserve base here, National Guard base there.
Right.
Those people that were going to their local reserve or guard, they're going to have to drive even farther.
Absolutely.
And I used to know a guy who used to drive 6 hours. He was a pilot in the National Guard. And guess what? He actually showed up.
Yeah. Yeah, some people do.
Yeah, some people actually do. But he had to drive 6 hours. And, you know, you don't get, when you start out, and well, back when I started out in the National Guard, I think I made a little over $70 a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 1986. So, you know, you're not getting paid a whole lot. You're doing it basically because you feel it's
the right thing to do.
You feel called to do it.
Love your country, love your state.
And if it's the same thing you talked about where we're going to up the enlistment money,
mm-hmm.
we're going to take our cut off.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it's a con. And as Jim pointed out, these 15-month enlistments now, you know, so what if it's 15 months? They hit you with stop loss, and the next thing you know, you're in for 30 years. At least
15 months?
Yeah, the shortest enlistments in the history of the military, 15 months. You know, it's a big con. We're under stop loss.
Well, last time I heard it was 8 years.
Well, at least 15 months. But, you know, that's part of the con. Well, son, you only have to sign up for 15 months. And the next thing you know, you're in, you're shipped to Iraq, and they say, well, you know, stop loss has kicked in, so you never get out now. Yeah.
Well, you know, Bob, I'm not surprised.
No. Why? No, why would we be surprised? We know that with which we are dealing.
You know, I have been thinking the last few days about how to stop this crap, and I have come to a terrifying solution.
What's that?
The only way to change the way things are going with the Republican Party is to actually sneak into their party and be one.
It's funny. I've contemplated that myself, but I don't.
It just makes my skin crawl.
Oh, it does, and gives you an ugly case of the fan tods, as Mark Twain would put it. But
I mean, you have got to.
It couldn't happen because you would be rat slapped so fast by the religion industry. Right? They're not going to give up their stranglehold on that party, and neither is corporate America.
You would have to do awful things. You would have to go, yeah, who cares about welfare moms? Kill them. You would have to, you know, have to say all these horrible things, and you would have to make people believe that you believe.
Yeah, it kind
of. By the end of it.
It kind of gives you a little bit of respect for the, you know, the people who infiltrated the Klan and had to participate in that hatefulness, you know. A
friend of mine, he's a photographer, and he did a photo series many years ago, and he is known all over the world for it. Wayne Suggs, he did a photo series on the Ku Klux Klan. He didn't join them or anything. He hung out with them, and he photographed and wrote about them. My goodness, what he came up with. It was just ridiculous. One of the guys in a fishing boat, two or three of them, were going to invade Cuba. I'm serious. I'm
smart
serious
ones too.
As I can be.
Smart.
Yeah, man. Let's just do it.
The Nike invasion of Cuba.
Yeah.
Just do it.
When you get to where, remember when David Duke came out?
Oh yeah, I mean,
we thought, God, this is awful. Man, he looks pale in comparison now.
Well, and you got to remember that David Duke sold his mailing list, Chris, to this Tony Perkins creep who's head of the Family Research Council that had the Sunday Justice Sunday up in Louisville.
Oh, he did.
Oh yeah, that Tony Perkins creep is Klan through and through. And people
that
sit there and say,
me.
You know, he's a sweet little follower of Jesus.
Well, what on earth? Where on earth are we going to have to go to be surprised anymore?
Oh, you're not. No, it's not about being surprised anymore, Chris. It's about having your eyes wide open to irony and enjoying the gifts that. How's it put in the Declaration? Nature and nature's God. Enjoying the gifts that irony and irony's God hand down to us as we get to watch these filthy hypocrite fascists just get exposed and come apart at the seams.
That's an old saying we have down in Alabama: just sit and wait. Comes around, goes around.
Yeah, it's like squirrel hunting. You go stomping through the woods, squirrel hunting, making all kinds of noise, tramping around. You're never going to see a squirrel. On the other hand, if you sit down on a little stump there and act like squirrel hunting's the last thing in the world you want to do, you'll be up to your neck in squirrels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wait.
Bob, you're doing a great job.
Thanks, Chris. Have a great night and a great weekend. Take care. All right, more of your calls when we come back. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. I love talking to you guys. It's so much fun. 2 days without the show. Ooh, I shudder to contemplate it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Pass the gravy.
This year, United Way helped provide shelter to over 5,808 homeless people in Columbus, and it doesn't matter. To do so, we worked with scores of local businesses and government and community leaders, and it doesn't matter. Together with hundreds of volunteers, contractors, and tradespeople, we put a roof over their heads, and it still doesn't matter. It's not the places per se that really matter. What matters are the new leases on life within them.
Hey, Dad, it's the Nolans.
Your United Way investment, magnified by others who invest the United Way, has the real power to bring the results that matter where you live.
So, how are you getting along?
We're getting settled.
What matters? United Way.
WWNR Beckley.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Daddy, I think Bullet wants to go outside.
Then take him, son. Sure, he's a Great Dane, meaner and 100 pounds heavier than you. Sure, he's strong enough to tow an SUV, but you're a Peterson, and at four, you're a man. So take Bullet's chain and wrap it around your wrist twice.
Like this?
I use both hands, but hey. Now show him who's boss. Let him know who's top of the food chain.
But I'm afraid I could get hurt.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Just keep him away from that cat.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
They can sniff that cat out this instant.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
We can forget report card day.
How was school?
Yeah, my mom and dad sure didn't. Why don't we take a look at that report card?
Can Jimmy come out and play?
Oh, not this month. He'll be doing homework with his dad.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Some heavy rumblers came through earlier. We'll have to deal with them dissipating from here on out. Otherwise, a mostly cloudy overnight, low eventually about 58 degrees. 74 for Saturday with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at 4 and 10, the opportunity for that. Sunday, partial sunshine, a little cooler, high 67, and Monday, dry 58.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
All right, only 1 hour left in the week, less than 1 hour left in the week, but we have to slog through another weekend. You ever heard of somebody who liked his work week better than his weekends? I guess I'm him. The phone number, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967, just because I'm trying to act in accord with a complaint I received. I don't do the phone number enough. So there it is. BobbittHeadOnRadio.com is the email address. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on. Sorry you had to wait.
That's all right. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Oh, that's good. Sounds real good. I heard the first part of your program. But I just had a few comments about two or three different things, if you got time and if the lines...
All the time you need, Ed.
All righty. I was going to mention how they got around the draft here. Did you hear the news today on how they extended up to 8 years on the people that's in there now?
No.
Yeah, that they're considering, you know, keeping them in there because of a national emergency. And so it don't look like that they're going to use the draft, but they're certainly coming up extremely short on head count, you know, for people enlisting.
Well, if they want to do Iran, though, they're going to wind up with a draft. Or if this business near the Syrian border goes on long enough to get the Syrians involved, that's going to be another big mess.
Well, I just people are not stupid enough to go in the service now. You know, they're signing their death warrant. What's 10,000 or 20,000 and a bonus or whatever if you're going to die?
Yeah, what profiteth it a man, huh?
Yeah. But I was going to say, you know, it's just so discouraging to see all the attacks on the worker that's going on, like, you know, the Social Security, the pensions create, and you watch what I tell you on the crime rate. You give it another year and a half, 2 years, and they're going to have to double the prisons because people are not going to set by over what's going on and let their kids do without. I don't believe they will this time. They went through that, you know, we went through that years ago, but I think people are going to start turning to whatever they have to do to feed their kids.
Well, it wouldn't be surprising, and of course that would be a good thing for the Republicans anyway, Ed, because they could build more private prisons. You know, privatization is the way to go with those people.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. But I was wanting to bring up some of the economics of the situation. You know, it wasn't no time at all ago that they said, well, you can't pay no attention to the budget. The budget will take care of itself. And now they've turned around and done all of this cutting of the military bases, and along with the getting the illegal aliens in here, you know, the American worker is absolutely, I don't know if it's deliberate, you know, that it seems to be planned, but nothing's been done about our borders. And, you know, I don't even know what your position is on that, but I still think that if when people get hungry and enough of these jobs are exported, people will pick the strawberries, they'll wait on the tables, they'll fix the rich's flower garden, they'll do what they have to do to eat. When you get hungry, it'll cause you to do a whole lot of things you wouldn't think you'd do.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, Ed. And, you know, the other side of this base closing, did you hear the numbers that they ran as far as what they expect to save? $50 billion over the next decade by closing these bases. And now we're in a $300 billion hole because George Bush said he'd lost his patience.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
That's penny wise and pound foolish in my book.
Well, this whole economic thing and the whole budget deficit, and, you know, you hear him call in on these other programs talking about, well, Byrd wanted to balance the budget, and now that Bush is trying to, he's catching a lot of flack. But, you know, the fact of the matter is George Bush created this situation. They can't blame that on Ray Hall or Byrd. George Bush is the total, this ought to be laid square in his lap, and he really should be tried on war crimes in my book.
No, without a doubt. And we had a rock-solid military when Bill Clinton left office. We had a budget surplus. We were operating in the black. And, you know, remember on the campaign trail where George Bush said, well, you know, we've got several divisions that have to report not ready for duty, sir. When that was, of course, a great big whopping lie. And the other thing on the campaign trail is also worth remembering, Ed, how he said, well, we're going to have some tax cuts so we can slow down this booming economy. And then he gets in, Wall Street knows the score. They know everything's going to go in the toilet because of Bush is in charge. And as a consequence, the economy as of March 2001 just recedes. I mean, that's when the recession started, March 2001. And so then he says, well, we got to have us some tax cuts so we can jumpstart this here economy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's so frustrating because the so-called liberal media won't cover it. The story, I'm not sure, well, you know, the memo that was leaked in Britain and was published on May 1st in the London Sunday Times that talked about the meetings between Britain and the Bush administration and how they had already decided to go to war in what, July of 2002. That all went down, and it's absolutely turning the UK on its ear, if I understand correctly. But over here, you know what page it was? Now that's May 1st. This is May the 13th. You know what page that was on finally in the Washington Post?
No.
Page 18.
Well, they buried it, didn't they?
Oh, sure. You know, so what liberal media? I mean, the Washington Post is certainly doing a gorgeous job of covering George's butt.
Mm-hmm. Well, we might as well say that the news media has sold us out. Even CNN is not what it was a year and a half ago.
It's not what it was it's certainly not what it was when I was working there. I got to watch something in the morning. So, you know, I've got a choice between Good Morning America, Today, whatever they do on CBS, Fox and Friends. John Kepi and I were just talking during one of the breaks. That's, Fox and Friends is enough to make you just run screaming around the room. So by default, I wind up at CNN. And let's see, what's her name? Soledad O'Brien, that smiling mouthful of teeth. The Bill Hemmer, who, and then Jack Cafferty. That guy just, the lot of them just drive me bananas.
Yeah, I can't, Bob, I tell you the truth, I can't watch them. You know, there's one that's despicable it's got one of the shows on now on the station you're on, but the one that absolutely, the minute I hear that music, I punch it off if it's on that station. I cannot stand. Rush Limbaugh is a dang heathen. That's and I know the name calling is, but
nah,
that
okay.
guy is so despicable and distasteful. He should be put in a hog pen.
Well, he spent 25 years he spent, Ed, dividing this country just like his lord and master, George Bush. You know,
and that's what they've done too.
And I honestly believe that if they could get it, the right would like to see another civil war. Because they're bloodthirsty and they're killers, and the way they talk about anyone who doesn't agree with them, my God, I catch the flack when I hand it back to them. You know, I'm very,
no, I don't you catch flack from them, but
yeah.
You get hoorahed from like the deal that you done on the fellow yesterday evening. You hear talk, I hear talk and get calls and ask me if I heard that. I told them, yeah, I was tuned in on it. But that's what they need. You got to fight. But I was going to make a comment on Joe Lieberman, too.
No.
You know, that is got to, I can still see him standing behind the George Bush on the stage there with that grin like a duck had done eat all the peach seeds. He is nothing but a little clown. He's a little suck. If Bush would stop fast enough, he'd break his nose.
Well, yeah, and I mean, oh, mercy. There are so many things wrong with Joe Lieberman. We don't have time to go into it. He's good on the environment, but overall, when you're sitting there saying, "Yeah, kill a few more Arabs, woo, go George, go," and that it's people like him that create the problem that we have in our party, because all he wants Democrats to be is another set of Republicans, and you know what, that's never going to put Democrats back in power.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats the Democratic Republicans have got control. It not only like him, but here too in this state, we've got because they have to be a Democrat to win over here. They run on the Democrat ticket, but just look at their record and see how they vote.
Well, I saw this. I saw this pension bond proposal referred to in the Charleston paper today, Ed, as being like a home mortgage. You know, this that they're going to try to get people to vote for in June. It's not like a home mortgage. It's like a credit card. You know, right now, and these are just facts. No name calling. These are just facts. Right now, the bond debt of every West Virginian is around $900 per citizen per year. If we pass this pension bond in June, the bond debt for every West Virginian is going to go up near $3,000 per person per year. And I saw where Governor Manchin said, well, you know, I'm just afraid that we'll have an economic downturn somewhere down the road, and then we'll be in real trouble. Well, hell's bells, Ed. If we pass this bond issue and we have an economic downturn, aren't we going to be in terrible trouble there, too?
It's going to be worse than a lot worse than what they're facing now. But you know what, Bob? I'm going to tell you straight up how I am. I'm for a person having a good pension and good wages, but I don't think a public servant should have any more than what the constituents, in other words, the supporter, makes than what they do. And it seems to me that the teachers, and I sure don't need no enemies in the teachers or the state police, but it seems to me like that if everybody else is tightening up their belt, then I think some consideration should be made not being so aggressive on what their needs are.
Well, the problem is we made promises, and these are old promises. You know, we're not trying to increase their pension. We're trying to honor the debt that we already owe. Legislatures passed and governors passed have made that problem worse. But the thing is, Ed, excuse me, what really, you know, is a bee in my bonnet on this thing is that part of these pensions are judicial pensions. And Joe Manchin just signed a $26,000 per person raise for every single circuit judge and every single member of the Supreme Court. And now we've got to go to the polls and authorize a $5.5 billion bond issue for these self-same judges? I don't think so.
I don't either. I just don't see that. You know, they're getting more raise than a lot of West Virginia, a whole lot of West Virginia. If you ain't a coal miner, you're lucky to be making that kind of money.
Well, and these judges retire at 80% of their salary.
Well, I'm telling you what, it might pay us to go to law school.
Yeah, but then you got to run for the office, and you got to make that deal with the devil. But do you see what I'm saying? I got nothing against the judges. We've got some great judges. We got some good judges in this county. Got decent judges over in Fayette County.
Yeah, we sure do.
I got nothing against them, Ed. And I got nothing against the teachers. I'm pro-teacher. For God's sakes, there's no more pro-teacher person out there on the radio than what I am. But we have an obligation, and we have to pay it. And we're paying as we go. Now, it's an obligation to the state, and one way or the other, we are obliged to pay it.
Yeah,
However,
I'm confused on the issues about the teachers and the police, but when you got people making $14,000, $16,000, $18,000 a year, and the teachers come up, and all you have to do is pass the parking lot and see what they've got and what they make.
Well, no, see, I don't. Again, I don't believe we pay our teachers enough. I don't believe under the circumstances, because of what teachers are paid in surrounding states, they can be lured away. And the same thing applies to the state police. But where the pensions are concerned, it's a different issue. And we've already got an obligation, and it is an obligation that is met every year out of the state budget. And that's like, well, you know, you get your check, you get your payday, whatever, and you pay your bills out of that every month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we're doing with the pensions now. On the other hand, what happens if instead of paying your bills out of your check every month, Ed, what happens if you decide, well, I'm just, I tell you what, I'm going to pay my bills on my credit card? That's going to put you in a hell of a bind after a while, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the bond issue in June. That's the bond issue. Are we willing as West Virginians to go on a mad credit card frenzy in this state?
I'm not.
Neither am I.
I don't want you to think that I'm against the teachers. At some point.
That's the point, though, Ed. They're going to get paid their pensions one way or the other. The question is whether or not we're going to haul the Visa card out of the wallet to do it. Now, and this is really the core of my objection. You're retired, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I've got a good 20-plus years working in front of me, God willing. As it stands now, Ed, it's going to take me the rest of my working life to pay off my part of the bond debt that was passed in order to cut a break to these coal companies for what they deadbeated on in their workers' comp, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work for the rest of my life paying off my chunk of that. Now, in addition to that, we want to pass $5.5 billion in bond debt on these pensions. Well, it'll take more than what I can the rest of my working life to pay that off. And I have I hope I'm clear on this. I have a fundamental unwillingness, because this is political opportunism at its very worst. It's saying, well, you know, we're going to get the credit card out and we're going to expect children who haven't even been born yet to pay it off. I don't think a politician should be allowed to do that, Ed.
Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't like Joe Manchin when I heard his name. I don't like him now, and I won't like him tomorrow. I mean, him pushing these kind of bills on the insurance and, all these things like that. I don't have a bit of use for him. He'll never get my vote.
I'm still trying to cut him some slack. But where this pension debt is concerned, I just believe, and I would believe it if it was a Democrat or a Republican or an independent saying it, I would believe that it is not fair to saddle my kids with debt that they have no say in.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the answer? I mean, how are they going to come up and meet what they've promised or what they intend to do? I mean,
well, as it now stands, it has to come out of the general tax revenues every year. Now, that amount increases over time as people retire, and it's all debt money stuff that gobbledygook. But the fact of the matter is, we were promised, okay? We were promised that if we gave up our rights to sue insurance companies, we were promised that if this is a couple of years ago, we were promised that if only we would give up our rights to sue a doctor who butchers us, we were promised that all of, and God knows you've heard it a lot more out of the Republican Party, Ed, than you've heard it out of the Democratic Party, but we were promised that if we would just lay down and let them kick us a while, that West Virginia would turn into a business wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if those political promises are true, then we don't need this bond debt, because here in 4 or 5 years, we are going to be an absolute Disneyland for business in West Virginia, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if that was a promise cynically and falsely made, then that would explain the need for the bonds, because, well, we don't expect to get any better. We don't expect business growth in this state. And even if we do get the business growth, here's the punchline: we damn sure don't intend to tax them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I just raving, or does that make sense?
Yes, it sure does make sense. And you know something, Bob, without any enthusiasm, and I've been accused of, you know, sort of getting mad or angry. I am angry. I'm damned angry at what's going on from the standpoint of destroying the way to get around in this state, such as Amtrak, airport, and the road structure and everything else going to pieces, and, you know, all the way to the war, and what's going on with Social Security, and all the way to the crime rate, the way they're doing the military boys that's in there now. You tell a man that ain't angry, he's got his head in his hip pocket. He don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, but of course, there's a reason that things like American Idol and Desperate Housewives are so cotton picking popular, because there, I forget who said it now, but some brilliant person said that no one can stand, people can't stand too much reality. And frankly, it takes an iron will and a stern, starched up spine to look day in and day out at the reality that we are being handed in this state and in this country.
Yep, and all of it goes right. The concrete leads to the White House.
Sure it does.
But I don't have, you know, I'm not smart enough to formulate the words to of how I feel, and I guess almost hatred, and totally feel like that everything that I've ever believed about this country and about the time I put in the military, I feel like that I was duped.
Sold a bill of goods.
Yep. But anyway, you weren't
duped then, Ed. It's these people now that are duping you. And it's because they have no love of this country. They have no love of this state. They have only an overarching and abiding and overweening desire to see their own and themselves make out like bandits.
Yeah. They love pictures of dead presidents, don't they?
The more the merrier.
The green back dollar.
Of course, my favorite's a dead ex-president or a dead non-president. You know, little Benny Franklin. I'm awfully fond of him.
Yeah,
he's on the 100.
Yeah, they's a lot of them's rotten before they die, ain't they? Bob, I'll talk to you later.
Take it easy, Ed. You have a great weekend. Thank you for yours. All right, time for the bottom of the hour break. If you've got anything to add, you're more than welcome at 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. And I don't profess to understand the rarefied atmosphere of high finance. Not my gig. But I do know that if I look at my daughters and my son and ask them a very simple question, kids, do you think it's fair for me to make debts that you have to pay? Because, you know, they watch the bills get paid. They know what debts are. They are the children of my lovely wife and me. They're smart. And I say, do you think it's fair for me to put you in debt without your consent, without your permission? There's no waste of time with them. No, Daddy, that's not right. And you know what? It's not. We're talking about a 30-year bond debt that when my kids enter the workforce will only be halfway paid for. They're going to be the ones that pay for it, not you and not me. And if we talk about fundamental issues of fairness, by God, that's one of them. Give children their hope. Give children, for God's sakes, their dreams. We talk about how they're sexualized by advertising and by television and by the constant media barrage that makes them grown up before they're even 12. Do we need to add to that by making them have to understand the rules of high finance? And to understand what it means that for them to be $3,000 to $4,000 in debt per person per year for the rest of their lives? Do we need to heap that on a kid? Damn! And I'm the liberal. Bless my soul. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You know what?
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The second Fayette County Circuit Judge has told supporters at Trolley Bridge High School they must include the West Virginia Board of Education in a lawsuit that seeks to keep that school open. Judge John Hatcher yesterday in Fayetteville dismissed a lawsuit filed by Trolley Bridge Citizens for Equal Education. He said the group could include the state school board or appeal his decision. Group members decided to include the state board. Judge Hatcher indicated he would transfer the case to Kanawha County. Barry Bruce, lawyer for the Trolley Bridge residents, said the Fayette County School Board was at fault for mistakes it made in the closure. But Hatcher said Bruce was raising questions about fundamental points in state education law. Fayette County Circuit Judge Charles Vickers in April dismissed a similar lawsuit because the group did not include the state school board as a defendant. The Fayette County School Board voted in December to close Trolley Bridge High School, Middle School, and also Montgomery Middle School. Students would be moved to a reconfigured Valley High School and Valley Elementary School in Smithers. A Raleigh County man is dead after leading police on a Wednesday morning chase through two counties. Sophia police had tried to pull over William Harvey Jr. of Lester just before 3 o'clock in the morning for speeding and swerving his car. The car sped away, and officers pursued it on State Route 54 into Wyoming County. The chase ended near Mabin when Harvey's car went out of control in a curve and hit a parked log trailer near the Easy Stop gas station. Lester was pronounced dead at the scene, the incident under investigation by the Wyoming County Sheriff's Office. Authorities in Putnam County have arrested a man suspected in last week's abduction of his 3-year-old daughter from Fayette County. Kerry McClanahan was arrested around 8 last night at his mother's home in Polka. Fayette County Sheriff Bill Laird says McClanahan is wanted for taking her daughter from her mother's plum orchard home last Friday, as well as assaulting the mother. McClanahan was arraigned in Putnam County Magistrate Court on 2 counts each of domestic battery and felony child concealment. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening and tonight, low 57. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely, mostly in late afternoon, tomorrow's high near 75. Showers and thunderstorms likely tomorrow night, and for Sunday, a chance of showers early in the morning. Then the rest of the day, mostly cloudy and cooler, Sunday's high only near 62. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for Let's Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Great presents, great selections, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Silent drive with zero down. And make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring sales event. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Worldmakers Drive in Berkeley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices. Great selection. No hassles. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Our select models for the group credit. Every cruise will pay to purchase except for the world price. For over 3 L3 for less than 60 months and 6.5% if you're a high level shopper, ends 5/30/105.
Where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
where Mother Nature is at her worst,
where there's a search,
where there's a rescue,
where there are Americans in need,
you are there.
When disaster strikes,
or one volunteer force,
helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force. Join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Get ready and get walking. You can make a difference for those who suffer from arthritis. Join Colony Grove, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's Second Arthritis Walk, Thursday on the McKenna Memorial Rail Trail starting at Timberwood Park. Help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. It's not too late to come and team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Grove Enrollment Center, 252-5305, and help us make a difference in the fight against arthritis this Thursday at Timberwood Park.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Do you like the new bumper music? I do. Let's see. Yeah, it's about 24 minutes before 10 o'clock, and we'll go straight to the phones. David is with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Yeah, I'm David from Mount Hope. I called you.
Yeah, we've talked
earlier. I'd like to talk to you about the United Nations specifically. I don't know whether the Bolton gentleman is the best guy for that job, and I understand some of the criticisms about him, but I'd like to make some general criticisms of the United Nations during my lifetime.
Okay.
You go back to the Korean War, although I was born in 58. I'm fairly well read in history, and I watch a lot of documentaries, and I know a lot about the Korean War. Except for the Korean War, that's about the only effective military engagement the United Nations ever been involved in. That's because the Soviets got angry and didn't show up, and they didn't use their veto power.
What about Bosnia?
Well, I think that was a failure too. Early in the war, in that region formerly known as Yugoslavia, they've always had ethnic tensions there. Is early in that conflict, the Muslim origin or religion rather. They ask the United States and some other countries just to sell them small arms for pretty much self-defense to keep from being slaughtered, and we didn't send any weapons over there. And I know that you get into trouble sending weapons overseas, like you send Saddam gas and send people tanks and nuclear arms and things like that, but they just wanted conventional weapons to defend themselves from being slaughtered. Well, we let that go on, and the United Nations get that on until the point where it's almost a total slaughter before we went in there. And so at the very end, maybe they saved some people, but there was an unnecessary slaughter, and that was mishandled.
Right, but David, you understand that a great deal of the will of the United Nations is driven by the will of the United States.
Well, I agree with that. Well, that's partially true.
If we let it go on, then do we not bear some of the responsibility?
We certainly do. But on the other hand, a lot of people like me, I'm going back to the 70s even. During people who criticize the United Nations think of things like Yasser Arafat going there and denouncing Israel and the United States and getting a standing ovation. People like Fidel Castro going to the United Nations and denouncing the United States and getting a standing ovation. And there is a mindset among a lot of people like me that the United Nations is just basically a place where people cheerlead against the United States, and we fund about 80% of the organization.
But, David, do you not think that, again, we've got some hand in this? For instance, in the run-up to the Iraq War, we heard 1447 until I thought it was 47 minutes past 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
The steady drumbeat of this one UN resolution, and we were willing to, and we ultimately did invade and slaughter Iraq over that.
I agree that we pick and choose sometimes what's beneficial.
How many resolutions have there been passed by the United Nations that we have either vetoed in the Security Council or that have actually passed with regard to the mistreatment of the Palestinians by the Israelis?
Well, we had three things going on there. One reason for that is the Iraqis had been defeated in a war. They had signed an agreement. They had invaded a neutral country. They had lost a war to us, agreed to terms, and then they declared victory and did whatever they want and shot at our planes the whole time.
Well, but back
there are also 17 resolutions.
It's not that simple, though,
David.
No,
but it's not simple to say that what you're saying either.
No,
it's more complex.
But
both of us are partially right.
But back up on Gulf War I.
Yes, sir.
At least understand the genesis of that war.
Yeah.
Understand what happened with the April Glaspie memo.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
I'm somewhat familiar with it.
Okay, that is where April Glaspie, who was a State Department functionary, was asked directly by the government of Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein's government said, look, we've got border disputes with Kuwait, and we're going to settle them. What do you think? And April Glaspie, with the explicit approval of the Bush 1 administration, cabled back to Saddam, we take no sides in Arab conflicts. Okay, that's where that war started.
Well, but you got to understand that there's a regional conflict between
Saddam thought
Iraq and Israel. That's very complicated.
Yeah, but Saddam
part of it has to do. They were concerned about them attacking Saudi Arabia and Israel also.
Saddam thought that we had greenlighted the invasion of Kuwait.
I agree with that. That's part of we were part of the problem there. I agree with
but
that.
But there are how many? And this is separate. This is separate and apart from Iraq because many of these predate the Iraq War. How many? How many? resolutions have been passed calling on Israel to do the right thing with regard to the Palestinians.
Well,
you know, again, it's
Palestine
a function.
Palestine has never been a country. The Romans called it Palestina or Palestinia to aggravate the Jew.
They also called it Judea.
But they named it specifically Palestine at some point in history just to make the Jews mad. Palestine has never been in a country ever in history. Has it?
Not as such, no, but it has
okay.
certainly been. It has
well,
certainly,
they have rights
it has
people,
certainly,
so I agree.
It has certainly been part of Phoenicia.
Right.
Which from a.
Or the Midianites and the Canaanites
but,
and
but,
all
but,
that.
But
I
in particular,
that.
But in particular, Phoenicia has.
They were invaders from
but
the Aegean.
But Phoenicia has a literal, it's down through the ages cousin, is what becomes Palestine in terms of the etymology of the word.
Well, I know, but Phoenicians were Aegean. They weren't even from that region. Some people think they came from the Aegean, Crete or Greece, or the region of Troy. The Phoenicians were invaders of that territory.
Well, we don't, I mean, frankly, David, we're going to get ourselves in real trouble because...
Yeah.
People, I mean, do you realize in the blood of Palestinians, do you realize how much European blood flows there?
That's right. And the Palestinians are cousins with the Jews. I understand that, too. Can I go on to two other points about the United Nations? I'm sorry to...
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm getting sidetracked here. Another point I'd like to make about the United Nations is within the last hour, I watched the documentary on Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 weeks ago, I watched a movie on HBO, or one of the channels on Rwanda. I think it's called...
Hotel Rwanda?
No, it was another one. Something about the rain or something. I can't remember the name. Okay. I'm nervous about being on the radio.
Oh, please, I don't bite.
But anyway, what I'm saying is, they were talking about the fact that Serbia had just occurred in Bosnia and all those problems there, and then the American soldiers were caught in Mozambique, and there was a big gunfight there. And the United States was very... gunshot. Madeleine Albright said, well, you know, we got to make sure what we're doing from now on, which makes sense. Well, when the Hutus, which were 7 million strong, started slaughtering the Tutsis in Rwanda, it went on for 60 days. And in 60 days, they killed, I might not be totally right on my figure, but I think it's 700,000 people.
Or more.
Between 700,000 and a million. And what I'm saying is, the United Nations, there was a Belgian detachment of United Nations troops with the Blue Berets, and they were there, and he had so many people. Well, at the very beginning, the Hutu Prime Minister's plane was shot down, and then the person that replaced her was a lady. They murdered her, and then they started just wiping out people and arming people with machetes and guns. They go kill everybody.
Right.
Well, the United Nations sat on their hands, and this guy said, you know, we got to stop this. Give me more troops. So the United Nations cut his troop down, and I just saw this an hour ago. I'm sure it's my facts on this part. They cut his troops down to 90%, but they cut them by 90% and took people out of the country. And we're guilty, too, the United States. Madeleine Albright and the administration then and our
well,
whole
Bill
country.
Bill Clinton has said that may very well have been the worst mistake
it,
of his
it was,
entire presidency.
And they butchered people and hunted them in the swamps and everything. And my point there is when the Belgian troops, they showed a photograph, and I just saw this within the last hour. They took their daggers, and they cut their Blue Berets in half as they left out of protest.
Yeah.
And another thing I'd like to say about the Blue Beret, and I know I'm taking up a lot of time, is during the Clinton administration, and I will tell you that I'm not a fan of Clinton, and I don't want to get into all the scandals and people that were prosecuted and that were convicted and all that, because you're going to disagree with me, but I just like to focus on the United Nations part.
Okay.
But you do understand
that only one person was prosecuted or convicted out of the entire Clinton administration as compared with, say, the Reagan administration, which had more indictments and more convictions.
I don't
convictions.
Totally agree with that.
Well, it's not a question of whether you agree or not. It's a fact.
Well, all right.
Henry Cisneros,
let me,
that's
let me
it.
Let continue if I may.
I know, but I can't let that go by.
All right, well, that's fine. But I want to focus on the Michael New case. When Clinton was in the National Guard, people who defend Clinton, and I know, Clinton I really think is a brilliant man. I just don't agree with his politics, and I think that he's done some bad things, okay? But I think he is very intelligent, and so I'll give him credit there. But my point is, as a young man in the National Guard, people, you know, they made a big stink about him getting out of the National Guard, and he actually wrote letters and said, and people can understand during the Vietnam War, he wrote some letter where he got to the point where he said he actually loathed the military because of the way the Vietnam War is being fought.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to debate that. You know, I'm sort of pro-army myself and pro-guys who fought there. But regardless of that, when the Michael New case came up, he was a specialist. I think he was in the Army or the Marines. I don't recall exactly. I think he was in the Army. And he had commendations all through his career. He was an outstanding soldier. So he was compelled to go into the United Nations force. And he said, you know, that's an illegal order. And he said, you know, you can't make me do this because I swore an oath to defend the United States. When you go to the United Nations, you take a, when you put on that blue beret, you swear to take an oath to uphold the United Nations rules and regs over your home country. And you have no other allegiance but the United Nations while you wear that blue beret. So that's an illegal order. I'm not going to do it. And the guy got kicked out of the military for that. Now, that stings for me because I do agree with him. That's probably an illegal order.
Well, again, I think, I've got another caller here, and
yes,
I want to move on.
Okay, go ahead.
But I think just sort of to bring this full circle, I think it is fair to say, David, that if you look at all the topics that you have brought up, it tells me one thing.
Yes, sir.
Through the lens of history, the League of Nations, for instance, failed after World War I for
right.
one reason and one reason only, and that is because a hostile Republican Senate refused to allow the United States to join the League of Nations. Now, as a result of that failure, we got World War II. Now we have the United Nations, and from the moment of the United Nations' inception, there has been an element in the United States and in our government that has virulently opposed our membership in the United Nations just as they opposed our membership in the League of Nations. And toward that end, that is in large part what has made the United Nations a less than effective body. When on the day when the United States commits to world peace and commits to working for world peace with other member nations of the United Nations, then it will become a body to be reckoned with, and America will be what America should be.
Well,
I got to roll though, David.
Okay,
I got to go. You have a great weekend. Take care. And Gary, sorry you had to wait, but thank you.
Hello, Bob.
How you doing?
Bob, this is Gary, and I'm nervous, and I've called you names. I've called you before.
You've never taken my name in vain.
Hey, you really got some sharp callers tonight.
Yeah.
Really, really sharp. And that April Glaspie memo, she was on TV being interviewed, I think, by Mike Wallace. You know, she gave the whole rundown how that went. And basically, the Bushes have done nothing but sucker us from day one on Iraq.
Oh, yeah. Damn, Gary, you know. I mean, people don't bother to learn. You know, we just thought it was the Great Patriotic War. I remember when it started, and Bernie Shaw jumped under the table on CNN. But people don't bother to remember that what is now Kuwait was,
yeah, it was once Iraq.
Yeah.
But you know, well, I mean, that still didn't justify him going there for the invasion.
No,
but more or less giving him the green light and saying, we don't care, and then after he does it, then jumping up and making out like, wow, this is horrible. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
that's wrong. We more or less started that war.
He did the Mother May I thing to us.
Exactly.
And we said, go right ahead, honey.
Exactly. And then, and you know, something funny, though. Saddam kept referring to Bush. He kept saying, Bush Theater, Bush Theater, Bush Theater. You know what? He's telling the truth.
Yeah.
It's nothing but a big theater. It's just a big play orchestrated by George Bush, and well, like I said, I never liked the guy from day one anyway.
Well, I love, you know, I'm fond of Plato, and to read Plato's Republic and the metaphor of the cave, where nobody understands what reality is because the only reality they know is what's being reflected to them. Everybody's in a cave, and that's what you get with the Bush administration.
Yeah,
you get perceived reality as opposed to the real deal.
Exactly, but. I believe it really goes a lot deeper than the Bush administration. I mean, I believe it's a whole phenomenon that's been going on for quite some time now.
Well, I mean, sure, there's plenty of blue smoke and mirrors to go around, and the thing is, it seems to me that you get the biggest part of the blue smoke and mirrors, Gary, when you you decide to flex your muscles and try to remind the world that you're the damn boss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? An America that wants an America that has no interest in killing anybody else, an America that will foster peace as opposed to foisting war, has no need for blue smoke and mirrors because it's the city on the hill. It's the light in the door.
There's a lot that goes into these considerations. I believe it's the oil supply situation as far as peak oil and all that's concerned. I think what they're really trying to do is they're trying to go in there and just more or less lock up the oil.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell us that, but that's more or less, I think, what they're up to.
And again, it's not about providing us oil right now. It is about controlling the spigot.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you brought something else up a while ago that I really I had to pick myself up off the floor. You know, you start sounding like a fiscal conservative.
Well, hell, I am. I got to pay my bills every month.
Well, you know, as far as these pension plans and all that are concerned, no, it's not right to saddle our kids with debts that are going to last their entire lifetime, but that's exactly what they've done. You know, they set up these pension systems in West Virginia, apparently never even consulted an actuarial statistician for even 2 minutes to find out what if it would work or not. They just said, okay, we'll pay you this, and, you know, the people come along later can figure out how to pay for it.
Well, but part of that also, Gary, is the fact that the pension was the trade-off for the rotten salary.
Well, I can understand that concept, but I'll tell you,
the pension and the PEIA.
I truly believe this. I don't believe that I should have to be responsible to pay another man's pension. And they have taken a system, they've totally corrupted it. I mean, look at what these judges get and all these other people. And it's just not right. I mean, you know, Bob, if I had the power to do it, would it be right for me to make you pay for my pension? No. You've got to worry about yourself.
Sure.
You want to build an estate to leave to your children. But, you know, they come in and they take all of our money away from us and for our own good, ostensibly. But it just never seems to work out right because there's always somebody out there pulling a little trick here or there. There's a Bob Graham out there, and he's on the tip of the iceberg. You know that. And so that's what we get when they take our money away from us, and we become dependent on them. And once you're dependent, you're marginalized. I mean, you really, really are. People have to understand the concept.
I got to tell you, Gary, I hesitate to jump in on the dependency bandwagon just because I don't see it that way. I don't see dependence as I don't equate needing to eat with dependence. I know you've probably been on the road a whole lot, but we had a story the other night, and it just about drove me out of my mind. And it was a press release put out on Mother's Day by the Bush administration, talking about the effects of this new Medicare prescription drug plan, and it bears repeating. And the numbers that they used were a little old lady living alone who makes $798 a month on her Social Security check. Okay,
uh-huh.
She's got $421 a month in rent. She gets $27 a month, in food stamps.
Uh-huh.
Now, if she signs up for the Medicare prescription drug plan, they're going to take $17 of those food stamps away.
Real generous, ain't it?
Yeah. So long, and thanks for all the fish. And again, I mean, I've been babbling tonight about, you know, the America that I was taught to believe and love in, versus the America that is the tawdry, sickening mess that I'm living in. And the America that I was taught to believe in doesn't take money away from little old ladies.
Well, I agree with you, but, you know, look at how we spend our money here in America. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, they've torn down two real nice buildings here in the last week here in Beckley. You know, they tore the Lowe's down.
Mm-hmm.
There's another place out there in Beaver they tore down. So
that's because, Kohl's is coming in?
Yeah.
And they're going to build their own new building because the old Lowe's building wouldn't suit.
Well, now, I can tell you for a fact that Lowe's tears down stores all the time and builds new ones right on top of the old ones. And why they do it, the reason they do it is because of tax breaks and stuff like that.
No, they do it because Walmart owns 40% of Lowe's, and therefore Lowe's employs the Walmart business model. That's why a Lowe's always shows up everywhere a Walmart does.
But you know what? I've asked, I've made a lot of deliveries to Lowe's and Walmart both, and they always deny there's any affiliation between the two. And, of course, I've noticed the same thing. I don't care where you go. If you find a Walmart, you'll find a Lowe's right next to it.
Walmart owns 40% of Lowe's. That's like asking a city cop if he's got a quota. Oh, heck no. But he does.
Oh, and, well, I mean, it seems a horrible waste of resources to take a perfectly good building and tear it down. But, I mean, that's what we get in America. I mean, we're a wasteful society.
Well, and it's disposable America.
Well, yeah, and it's just crazy. I mean, were you ever at the Lowe's here in Beckley?
Yeah.
I mean, was there anything wrong with that place?
Only the fact that, you know, I went in looking for a widget and couldn't find anybody to help me find it.
Well,
but,
that's,
you know, that's Lowe's.
For that, believe me.
Yeah.
They're absolutely famous for that. And I want to bring up one more quick thing because I know you're going to have to go here pretty quick.
Sure.
You know, on this insurance deal, I got a letter the other day from my insurance carrier for my car insurance, and they told me my rates were going to go up. Now, this is despite the fact I haven't had no accidents, no tickets, perfect driving record.
We don't like the way you look.
Well, I called them up, and I said, what's going on here? I said, I thought our rates were supposed to go down. Joe Manchin signed this deal with insurance companies and all that. And they started giving me a whole bunch of double talk, and they said, well, you've got to go ahead and pay your 6 months now, you know, at the new increased higher premium, but the next 6 months it'll probably come down.
Yeah, trust us.
Yeah, just a bunch of junk. I mean, that really, we have been flim-flammed again.
I tell you, you know, if it didn't hurt so bad, you'd really have some admiration for these people, wouldn't you, Gary?
Well, I mean,
the same kind of admiration you got for P.T. Barnum.
You know, knock on wood, you know, praise God, I've got a perfect driving record. No accidents, no tickets, and they keep raising my rates all the time.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out why. I mean, why do they have to do that? It looks like they say, hey, you're a great driver. We're going to knock you down $5 or $10.
Three words, real simple, because they can.
Exactly, because they can, because we don't know what's on their books, and we'll never find out.
No. And the very idea that we made that trade out without even asking to see the books, it really challenged my belief, the insurance bill did, Gary, really challenged my belief in not only the integrity, but the outright intelligence of these of some of these legislators. I wanted to go down with a trench coat full of bogus Rolexes because I could have gotten rich. These people will believe anything.
I believe you're right. Now as far as Joe Manchin's concerned, the guy is full of charisma.
Yep. Nice guy.
When he gets right down to brass tacks, I don't know, you have to tell me where he's at ideologically.
I hesitate to say. I can't. He is.
You just want to give him more time.
He's enigmatic. Well,
it's not looking good so far, though, is it?
No. As far as I'm concerned, he's looking like a one-termer, but, you know, he's got business behind him, and he's got the Republican Party behind him, and he's got the Democratic Party scared to death. Yes.
He's got the Republican Party behind him?
Yeah. He's got the Republicans behind him. He's got business behind him. He's got most of the Democratic Party that disagrees with him scared to death.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly an odd fellow. I mean...
But I'm going to wait and see what happens next legislative term and the term after that, because somewhere along the way, corporations may have paid for it, but hard-scrabble voters put him in there. And somewhere along the way, we got to get some of this.
Yeah, but you know what the game plan is. I mean, every administration does it, whether a governor or a president. At first, they go in and they do all the dirty work first thing. And then toward the end, they start straightening up because they figure, well, you'll forget about it.
Oh, yeah, and it's Christmas by the time the reelection time comes.
You remember what Ronald Reagan...